everything I've heard, and I praise him for that. It does behoove me to attempt to encourage not only your heart, but my own heart as we come to a termination of these days. Thank you. I'm planning on growing some, Lee. The Lord has been good to my own heart to keep me these many, many years, and I praise him for it. He's done many things, many gracious things. And I continue to say to God be the glory, great things he hath done. These are troubled times. I need not tell you that. This past week, by way of conversation on the telephone, I dealt with three young men heavily burdened by doubt and despair and a sense of defeat and ready to just say, I go back to fishing, as did Peter. We're living in a troubled time when it seems as though the gospel is seemingly trampled underfoot, the blood of Christ not counted, whereby we have been sanctified as a holy thing. We're living in troubled times in which much of the conflict is not outside the walls, but inside. When the ears that are deaf are not the ears of those dead in trespasses and sin, but the ears of those who claim they're underneath the blood. We're living in times when truth is called darkness and darkness is called truth. These are troubled times. What shall we do? What does God have to say? What does the scriptures do for my soul? When I think about the waves and the sea billows and the little boat upon which I have cast my hopes. I want to read to you today from a portion of scripture in closing that I hope will be some benefit to all of our hearts. That's from the 10th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. I want to draw some lessons from that historical event in which Christ sent his disciples on a mission of preaching mercies to the house of Israel. In the 10th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse, the Son of God says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the very middle, literally, of ravening wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and sincere as doves. But watch out for men. For they will deliver you up to the religious councils. They will even beat you in their synagogues. Ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake and for a testimony against them and the heathen, the Gentiles. But when," not if, "but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is really not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which is in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall indeed be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that perseveres to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is sufficient for the disciple that he be as his master or his Lord, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Do not be afraid, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Do not be afraid, then, of them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy with everlasting ruin both soul and body in Gehenna. Now, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And yet one of them shall not fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you today for your grace. I want to thank you for what my heart has leapt within me as I've heard the word of the living God. I thank you for the admonitions and the keen instructions and the sore needed proddings of a cold heart. I want to thank you for reminding me again that there is no place for religious pride, so-called. No place for a sense of arrogance because our ground seems to be higher than others. Oh, blessed God, thank you again, too, for reminding us that man looketh on the outward appearance, but only God looketh upon the heart. So help us today to leave this place encouraged because our God sitteth in the heavens, doing whatsoever he willeth. And nothing will stop a child of God until the will of the Lord says, it is enough, come up here. Thank you, Lord. Thou art God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at this event in the life of Jesus and his disciples for a moment today, and I want to draw, I hope, some rich nourishment for my own soul from it. I see in it a discourse laden with encouragement. We've talked about being weary and heavy laden with sin. Well, here's a portion of Scripture that, though it carries many warnings, also is lighted with encouragement. Now, let me show you what I mean. First of all, I believe there is from the text an encouragement that comes from the fact that we are under a divine commission if we've been called of God. For this is what he said to his disciples. For the Bible says in that 10th chapter and the 16th verse, Jesus said, I send you forth. Ego apostello. In fact, he emphasizes the I. Men, you are going, not because you feel it is a good thing or a necessary thing or a fine spiritual thing you ought to do. I am sending you. I like that. I was called as I was a senior in college, and I was telling Brother Fred as he was speaking with me about his call. I did not, as a senior in Centenary College, ready to sit for a CPA exam, say, you know, I think more important than accounting, it would be to preach. No, I didn't say that. I had it made. My dad was a CPA, and he said, son, when you finish and you get your CPA passed, I'll put you to work for $10,000 a year. And $10,000 in 1954 was a lot of money for senior. I was ready. I was ready to go. And then suddenly, by the grace of God, I felt the hand of the living God upon me. I felt I had to speak. I went to the Sunday school teacher in the Methodist church where I attended and said, I've got an idea. Let's take turns teaching here, Miss Clay. I realized for the first time there was to come opposition to my ministry. Well, those people in there, those kids looked at me like, will you do that? I'm not about to. Oh, well, I thought, well, I've got to do something. So I started preaching to dogs and cats and anything I could find alive. And suddenly I gave up and said, God, I give up. I'll preach the unsearchable. I'll do anything. Just let me get through with accounting 303, cost accounting, and the CPA review, and there. I didn't choose. I'll tell you what's kept me in it, brother. I did not say I will preach. The Bible says through Christ, I will send you. It is the hand of God upon his people. I can stay here because I can go back 40 years and remember those times as I was wrestling in college and at home and knowing that God was putting his hand upon me and putting his word in my heart. So rejoice. I send you. And let me tell you, it's no secret that it's throughout the Bible the same way. You remember when the hand of God came to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, oh, I can't speak. Listen, if you just let me stay at the job I'm doing now, I'm just a lad. I can't even speak. Oh, but the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a lad, a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shall thou speak. Brother, Jeremiah said, I don't see how I can do it. I just don't feel comfortable. But he knew one thing. God said, I have known thee when thou wert in the womb. I have called thee as a prophet. I think that's why Jeremiah made it so well. Man, Jeremiah was one of the most defeated men in the Bible. He never saw anybody saved, as far as I can tell. When he gave advice, nobody listened. When God told him to write it in a scroll and send it to the king just tore it into pieces and threw it in the fire. Well, he was thrown in prison. His own citymen wanted to kill him. He ended up in a well and would have died had not a black man pulled him up with rags. But and all base of all that, God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you cannot even marry. You're going to have to go home at night and in a dark house be alone. Lord, how? I have called thee. Let me tell you. I want to tell you, my dear man, I don't care if it gets dark as the pit. If God has called you, stay your ground. Even though you are in the midst of 1,000 growling wolves, stay your ground. He has called you. And it's all the way through. There was Amos, the old farmer, the sheep herder, the tender of trees. And when he started preaching, the priest said, why don't you go back home? Why don't you go back in the tree business? He said, I'll tell you what, I ain't about to stop. Why? Because God called me. Man, how would you like it if everybody in town started saying, why don't you shut up? You can't preach anyway. You ought to go back to selling potatoes or go back. No, and you said, I tell you, I can't stop. Why? Because God has put his hand on my soul. Boy, that's an encouragement to me that I know I'm under divine commission. I wasn't sent by the convention. I wasn't sent by Nashville. I wasn't sent by nobody. I was sent by God. And I shall stay my course, so help me God. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. I think of all of us today ought to remind ourselves, maybe go back and refresh our minds. When did God call me? I love to hear it. I rejoiced to listen to dear brother Fred as he told me how, as a student at Auburn University, deeply involved in such marvelous things as deeper mathematics, God started calling. Couldn't even pass the next test. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, when the world says, Fred, why don't you go back to mathematics? He said, I've been there once. God did send me. Praise God. Did God ever put his hand on you? Then stay there, brother. I sent you. And let me tell you another thing, dear people. Not only does he put his hand upon you, he knows where he's sending you. It's not an accident. He doesn't say, now that I have put my hand on you, you just decide, look at a map and decide where you think you'd like to minister. No, he hadn't done that. Ma, move out to sunny California. And Richard says, no, not out there. No. Oh, man, bad out. Not out there. Well, I'd like to move next to my mother and my family. Is that what you do? Nah. Well, is there an easy spot? Nay, oh brother. Well, then where shall I go? You shall go to whom I send you. He said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. Nineveh! Oh, I can't. It's our worst enemy. Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. Oh, my. You know, he tried to get away, but as we heard, a fish intercepted him. Put him back at Nineveh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go to Nineveh. And Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world. And throughout this book, God has ordained where he will send his men. For he said to Jeremiah, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem. Yeah, amen. And to Ezekiel, in the first portion of that book, in the second and third chapter, he said this, arise, O son of man, go and speak to the house of Israel. Look how God sends you where he wills. And sometimes I think, men, as I get weary and heavy laden in this task, and I know you do too, I keep thinking I can draw some help out of that place that God sent Ezekiel in preparation for telling him about what he was going to do with Israel, his people. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Gotcha. And he carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Good. So far, so good. Amen. And he set me down in the valley of dry bones. That's the problem. Any of you feel like you've got a dry bone valley? He set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Well, Lord, I bet we're going to have a ministry out here. I said, first I want you to take a survey of your field. He caused me to pass by. He caused me to pass by the bones. Just walk among them for a while. And he said, behold, there are very many bones here. And they're very dry. Very many, very dry. Look to the right, he saw bones. Look to the left, he saw bones. He saw bones, bones, bones. And not a one of them looked like they had any life in them. Then he said, Son of man, can these bones live? That's a good question to ask. Listen, I've sent you to this field. Do you believe you'll see anything done? Bless God. I think the Lord wants us to get right up front to the place where our hands drop by our side and say, nothing in my hands I bring. Unless you do it, God, these bones will stay bones. Unless you bring the wind, unless you bring the power, unless you bring grace, the bones will stay bones. But I want to tell you what. He put him there, brother. He put him in the bones. And I want to say again, I think in this day, we must not forget that if God has called me, he has called me to the place where he wills for me to be. And it's not just simply there that I may preach, but also that he may instruct me, his child. Many have learned much in a boneyard that they never learned in seminary. See? Oh, it is God. Go. I send thee forth. I think a lot of us, again, if we think, well, if I could just get out of here to a better field, bless your heart, it's full of bones too. You know, no. So what I want to encourage my heart with is this. Wherever I am, two things. He has called me, and he has sent me, and that is enough. Hmm? But there's a second bunch of encouragement, if I could put it that way, that literally lifts my heart as I read this passage of Scripture. It doesn't seem that it would, but it does. And let me give it to you. It's the encouragement there is and that comes from the fact that the Lord has foretold us that our labors are going to meet constant and defiant opposition. We're not surprised by that. We shouldn't say, well, I've never thought they would have opposed this great gospel. Listen, Jesus said, I send you forth as what? Sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. I'd immediately suspect I'm going to have some problems then. Wouldn't you? There's nothing more anti-sheep than a wolf. You got a problem. Lord, is there another? Surely you'll send me where there's some other sheep I can fellowship. He didn't even say that. I'm going to send you in the midst of growling, biting, carping, snarling, teeth showing wolves. Whew. But the Lord said, now don't be surprised. I told you that before you got there. Man, I think sometimes we forget the Lord told us we are preaching a disturbing gospel and we need to preach it. Expect it. In fact, I've tried to teach myself to say, bless God, Lord, it's happening just like you said it would. What a marvelous Lord you are. Just exactly like you said it was. Because you told me this, in the world you shall have tribulation. Really? Yes. And don't you know that, listen, never, so far as I can tell, did the living God push a man out of the room into the wolf pack before he told him ahead of time of what was coming. Never. Never. All through this book, the prophets hear the same thing. Let me just read you a few of these. Maybe we've forgotten some of these. I want to read them to you. Listen to what he said to this young preacher, Jeremiah, in the first chapter. Jeremiah 1. Therefore, gird up thy loins, verse 17. Rise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Do not be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. What he was saying, when they start frowning and snarling up, you know, don't let that shake you up. That's coming, brother. Now, here was a kid that said he couldn't preach, couldn't even talk. And here's the Lord just seemingly to knock him off his horse before he ever gets his feet in the stirrups. Oh, he said, they're going to snarl at you. Don't be afraid. Expect that. Then he goes on. Behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings, the princes, the priests, everybody. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now listen, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver. I tell you, Jeremiah couldn't get up and say, you know, I never thought this would have happened. No, he was told before he ever put his shoes on that he was going to face a world that wouldn't understand him, even though it was a religious world. It's all the way through the book. Let me go to another one or two. You know, there was Brother Ezekiel. Bless his heart. Hallelujah. I like Ezekiel. He starts off with all those wheels turning around the glory of God, and he had a good start, and his eyes were filled, I think, with the light of the glory of the marvelous God of magnitude and matchless grace. But he had to get out there and preach. Here's what God said to him. Ezekiel 3:5. You're not sent to a people of a strange language or of a difficult tongue, but to the house of Israel. You're not sent to a people of a strange speech or of a hard, strict language whose words they can't understand. Surely I sent thee to them. Had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all of the house of Israel are hard-hearted, impudent. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces. You know, there again, it amazes me. Always, the Lord's always talking about the faces of people, as if to say, you know, you watch as you're preaching and on Sunday or on some hard doctrine, you know, some people, you know, get a little, their eyes start narrowing a little bit. And Jeremiah, Ezekiel was told, look, now, don't you worry about their faces. Just keep on. Oh, thank you, Lord. See, when you're warned ahead of time, the surprise element's gone. We are to say, yes, that's it. Well, God said this to every one of his prophets. So if I'm in the train of the prophets, the same thing he warned them about, or to say, he told me the same thing. Pray. You know what shakes people up? When they cannot get you to snarl with them. I love to go around smiling at people snarling. Just say, bless God. Well, what's wrong with you, preacher? I'll tell you what's wrong. It's what's right. Because the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, saith the Lord. So that I may boldly say, what fear I, what man can do unto me. Don't be worried about them. You'll have a stronger face than they do. Oh, and their forage will be strong, and your forage will be strong against their forage. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forage. Fear them not. Neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. You're going to a bunch of folks that won't hear. They're rebels. They're hard. They're stiff-necked. They're impenitent. They're difficult. Now, Ezekiel, since you know that's coming, get your word. Eat my word. Put it in your heart. And go stand and speak to them. I like to be warned ahead of time. This is not an unusual thing. You could go all the way through here. It's nearly in every page. In fact, sometimes the Lord even tells his prophets a few of the charges that will be brought against them and a few of the things that the people will want. I remember, again, talking since we were about Ezekiel. The Lord warned Ezekiel. He said, now, Ezekiel, people all over town will be talking about you. You'll think you're the best preacher that ever hit the city. No, they're talking about you all around the gates of the city, he says to Ezekiel in chapter 33. And in fact, You'll be such a prophet that everybody will be inviting their friends to church. Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes from the Lord. And in verse 31 of chapter 33 of Ezekiel, they will come unto thee as my people come. And they will sit before thee like my people sit, and they will hear your words. But that's as far as it'll go. They won't do them. For with their mouth, they're loud speakers. But with their heart, they go out after covetousness. And look, you are unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice. Oh, our little preacher just has such a good speaking voice. And you're like one that can play well on an instrument. Come down to the church and listen to the rehearsal our pastor's going to put on Sunday. He's going to be playing. Well, bless God. And he says this. For they hear thy words, but that's all you can get. They're not going to do a thing. Well, Ezekiel said, what's the use of me going? I didn't ask you to do a thing. He said, I told you one thing. Go speak to my people. No, go speak. I told you what was coming. Now, don't get shocked. Don't say, why don't we see more things happening? Oh, yes, we want to pray God send revival. Send the mighty spirit. Come, wind of God, and breathe on these bones. But whether the bones are breathed on while I'm there or not is beside the point. I am to stay in the boneyard till the king says it is enough. No. I expected them not to hear. But, Lord, if they do, I thank God because that is of grace. It's of grace. Pure grace. Thank you, Lord. And they threw him in prison and said, if you guys don't shut up, we're going to beat you to death. They beat him. And they said, you know, fellas, it's just what we expected. So they went forth rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They didn't say, you know, I never would have thought this would have happened to apostles of the Lord. I think I'm leaving. Well, I may go too. No, they ganged up and said, praise God. We were allowed to suffer for the great King of Glory. That's what I want. Leave the prison singing. I want to tell you what. The world does not know what to do with a smiling, beaten one. They just don't know what to do. They left praising God that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And it keeps going through the scriptures. A couple of more. Isaiah 30. Isaiah, you. I know you're going to have some hard things to preach. Because the truth is not pleasant to chew or swallow. But. Here's what you'll hear. Verse 9 of chapter 30, this is a rebellious people, lying ones, those who will not hear the law of the Lord. In other words, you don't want to be legalistic, preacher. Let's keep it to pure grace. Don't bring in that legalism. Which say to the seers or to the preachers, see not, don't see anything, don't get any vision. And to the prophets, prophesy unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth sayings. Listen, we don't even mind if it's deceitful. If it's smooth enough, we can swallow it. We can take it. Get you out of the way, preacher. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Don't keep putting in front of our faces this holy God. Oh, listen. I don't think Isaiah was at all frightened by that. Or did he say, I resign my prophethood? He just kept preaching. That's okay. That's not my business. My business is to speak the word of the Lord and leave it with him until death do us part. I won't say again, my friend. I'm not belittling the fact. I know how hard it is out there, but I want to say again, if God has put his hand on you, second, if God told you how it was going to be ahead of time, stay your ground. Quit you like men. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For our labor is not in vain in him. Never. Never. And one last word. unto this point. I think this is for all of us for whom the Lord has said, I send you forth. 15th chapter of John. These things I command you, John 15:17, that you love one another. If the world hates you, and included in that concept of the cosmos is the religious cosmos as well as the irreligious cosmos. It's not just those outside that will sometimes hate, but those inside. So if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated. Jesus is saying here, don't you forget how I was treated. Don't forget it. Don't forget what the sons of men did to the Son of Man. Stay in it. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they've kept my sayings, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. That's his warning to his children, to his people, to his servants, to his preachers. So let me say a word in bringing this to a close for a minute. We must not be taken back by what may happen to us or with us, for we knew that it was coming. How can we be cast down when there is no battle in which we're engaged, of which we were not foretold might come? The surprise is gone. The Son of God has said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Literally, keep on rejoicing and keep on jumping up and down with joy. For so did they persecute the prophets who were in front of you. Thank you, Lord. You told me it was coming. Help me to know it. Stand fast in Him. I've got one more word I want to say to you, and I'll let you preach it to yourself. There's two rounds of encouragement that's already been fired at my heart. One is, I send you. You didn't decide to send you to nobody. I sent you. So stay your course. Second, I warned you. You shouldn't be surprised. Now don't get taken at bay. I told you ahead of time. Okay. Now, if you can't run with the footman, what will you do when the horses show up? And if in a land of peace where people do not bleed for their faith, you can't stand, what will you do when they start throwing you to the lions? Stay steadfast, said the Lord. Stand. But one more great, and I want to tell you this to me, is the supreme encouragement of all that he says to his disciples. And may I share it with you? And that is this. There is the encouragement, the supreme encouragement, that is ours arising from the certainties our Lord doth give us. I mean, there are three certainties here that will cause you, after all of them, to say amen, even if you're not accustomed to saying it. You get excited. You say, glory to God. Hallelujah. And let me just list them, all right? And we won't deal with them. I just want to list them. Look at the three certainties. It all are hinging around those little fear nots three times. Don't be afraid, guys. I'm sending you out right in the middle of yes. Hey, wait. Don't be afraid of wolves. Oh, beware of them, but don't fear them. I mean, what he means again by beware, don't get shook up. Don't expect everybody to say, oh, boy. We just can't wait to get into that church to hear repentance and without holiness no man will see God. And
there's a hell ahead. Woo, get everybody. No, the Lord said, fellas, don't be shook if they go somewhere where they're jumping through hoops and smoking mirrors. But look, fellas. Hey, guys! Expect that! You're not in the numbers game. Preach! Beware! Don't get shook up. Keep your eyes unto him from whom cometh thy help. Now, thank you, Lord. You told me it was coming. Help me to know it. Stand fast in him. I've got one more word I want to say to you, and I'll let you preach it to yourself. There's two rounds of encouragement that's already been fired at my heart. One is, I send you. You didn't decide to send you to nobody. I sent you. So stay your course. Second, I warned you. You shouldn't be surprised. Now, don't get taken at bay. I told you ahead of time. Okay? Okay. Now, if you can't run with the footman, what will you do when the horses show up? And if in a land of peace where people do not bleed for their faith, you can't stand, what will you do when they start throwing you to the lions? Stay steadfast, said the Lord. Stand. But one more great, and I want to tell you this to me, is the supreme encouragement of all that he says to his disciples. And may I share it with you? And that is this. There is the encouragement, the supreme encouragement, that is ours arising from the certainties our Lord doth give us. I mean, there are three certainties here that will cause you, after all of them, to say amen, even if you're not accustomed to saying it. You get excited. You say, glory to God. Hallelujah to the King. And let me just list them, all right? And we won't deal with them. I just want to list them. Look at the three certainties. It all are hinging around those little fear nots three times. Don't be afraid, guys. I'm sending you out live. I mean, right in the middle of it. Who would? Yes. Hey, wait. Don't be afraid of wolves. Oh, beware of them, but don't fear them. I mean, what he means again by beware, don't get shook up. Don't expect everybody to say, oh boy, we just can't wait to get into that church to hear repentance and without holiness no man will see God and there's a hell ahead. Woo, get everybody. No, the Lord said, fellas, don't be shook if they go somewhere where they're jumping through hoops and smoking mirrors. But look, fellas, hey guys! Expect that! You're not in the numbers game. Preach! Beware! Don't get shook up. Keep your eyes unto him from whom cometh thy help. Now, I'm going to tell you this before you go, though. You got your armor strapped on, your book, right? Now, I mean by the armor, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hold high the shield of faith, feet girded with the sandals of the gospel. Go. But before you go, fear not. What about when they start growling? Fear not. What if they want to throw me out of the church? Good, good. I may take care of the guy that wants to throw you out before you get out. So don't worry about it. I'm still king. Well, fear not, and here's a certainty. There is nothing covered, verse 26 of chapter 10, where we started, of Matthew. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, or hidden that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what you hear in the ear, go proclaim upon the tops of the houses. What I get in that is this. Listen, brethren, let me give you the first certainty. You're part of something that cannot be stopped. I mean, listen. There is no obstacle that can derail the gospel of amazing grace in which you are a part. Listen, what you hear in the housetops, it doesn't matter if it's down in secret now, it will be shouted from the housetops. For the gates of Hades cannot prevail against my church. Go! Shout it from the housetops. Do not muzzle thy voice or bow thy head in shame. Brother, go yell it. Lift up your voice as a trumpet. Preach! Yea, preach. Because, listen, they cannot stop the gospel. I believe that. You know what Isaiah was told? Bless God again. I know you know this, but I'm going to read it again. Isaiah 50, because I read it for myself. You know, listen to this. Hey, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, Isaiah 55:11. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. It cannot be stopped. Right? Heaven and earth will pass away. Amen. But what? My word shall never pass away. You're part of a business that can't fail. Stay at the task. Good. Listen, I don't care if everybody in Lubbock and Roosevelt and every other little community around here voted to put out the gospel. They can't budge an inch of grace from God accomplishing the purpose whereunto he sends it. Preach from the roof. That's good enough, Lord. If they can't stop me, I can't go bankrupt. If your gold's in my pocket, I'll keep passing it out till death do me part. Thank God. Hallelujah. Certainty one. Oh, man. Listen, don't worry about the wolves stopping the message. Now, you may get bit, but the message you carried won't get swallowed. You'll never have to wait. Never. No wolf will stop any message of the sheep that taketh away, or the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Thank you, Lord. But I've got a second certainty for you. Not only are you part of something that can't be stopped, but even though they kill you, they can't hurt you. They cannot do you. They can't hurt you. Jesus said, look, listen, a second fear not. Fear not those who kill the body, verse 28. But they're not able to kill the soul. But I'll tell you who to fear. Keep your fear on him who is able to put out of business, so to speak, or ruin both soul and body in Gehenna. Listen, they may bodily do you in, but they cannot touch your eternal inheritance. They cannot cut off your relationship with a God of glory. They may kick you out of church, but they cannot take away your so grand salvation. They may say, we will have nothing to do with this preacher. But I'll tell you what, I will be with you, and I will never depart. And if you have me for your comrade, what need ye others? I'm here. Right here. They may kill you. They can't hurt you. You remember? They did kill Stephen. Oh, I remember that, and you do too. Over here in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, when Stephen got to preaching and got to going, and man, they couldn't take it. That was one of those sermons that wasn't very smooth, wasn't it? I mean, you know, brother, that was one of those hard to swallow. Well, they said, that's enough for this preacher. Let's take him out and kill him. And that's what they did. So they cast him out of the city. Verse 58 of chapter 7, they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling out upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit, and lay not this sin to their charge. But I want you to notice something else. Up there before he went, verse 57, he said, he was full of the Holy Spirit. While they threw him out of town, he was full of the Lord. So that's not a bad place. If it takes that to get full of the Lord, just go and get out of town. Looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. In other words, the Lord was beckoning, bringing him on home. Oh, what an exchange to make your body for eternity. Man, what difference does it make? Glory to God, let them kill. The worst they can do is kill, and that will have nothing to do with the blessed glory of God in your life and your standing with Him and your eternal destiny, and so be it. Let it happen. Don't worry. What matters in life is, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You've got a relationship with me, so remember this. Though they cut your throat, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to sever your relationship with God, our Lord. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us, even when we die for Him. Now, men, it may be that we will die. If America keeps going, it may be a day we will die for Christ again. Don't be worried. Stay at the task. Even when they come for me, even when they come for you. But you're part of something that can't be stopped. And when man has done his worst, they can't touch you. And lastly, he says again, fear not, for a third time. Do not be afraid. Are not two sparrows, verse 29, sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you're more value than many sparrows. What I think he's saying here. This is a third certainty that ought to just, I mean, when my start to sag, should hold me up steadfast. And what is that? That I am under the providential keeping of the sovereign God of birds and men. I mean, just, did you hear what he said? Men? You know those little bitty sparrows that they, in fact, they're the smallest little flighted fowls in Palestine. They're the cheapest things. You can get them for nothing. Well, I've got news for you. Not a one of them dies until I bring them home or bring them to the ground. Not a one. They cannot die apart from my providential permission. What? You mean, Lord, a little bitty midget bird? Right. Now, you're not a midget bird. You're a blood-bought, Calvary-conquered, spirit-filled child of God whose hairs are all numbered. And if a bird cannot die without me, no man can do you in until it is finished. You have fought the good fight and finished the course, and then and only then shall you be caught up into glory. Nobody can take you out till I get finished. Praise. Listen. They said, I tell you what, if you don't bow down here to this idol we've got, we're going to throw you into a fiery furnace. That'll do you in. So they heated up the furnace sevenfold, took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, opened the door. Those that opened it got burned to death, just opened it. Threw them in. That's enough of those guys. Won't hear any more of their preaching. But there was a fourth man in the flames like unto the Son of Man. Why, they're still in there, and there's four of them. They called them out. They don't even smell like they've been inflamed. Now they said, let's go back to our ministry. Let me tell you what, brother, you cannot kill one of God's own till God is ready. But it's an amazing thing to me, the fourth man's still in the fire, because there's a lot of others going to be thrown in there. He's there. Ready. To take care of his kids. When you pass through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. And through the waters, thou shalt not be drowned. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, saith the Lord, till I get ready. Now, to the wolves, they can't touch you until your ministry among them is finished. Praise God for glory. They said to Daniel, If you don't stop all this fanatical praying, it's the lion's for you. He just opened his window, started praying as ever. You remember they arrested him, threw him in the lion's den, and the king couldn't sleep that night. Came the next morning, "Oh, Daniel, bless you, O king," he said, "it's been good down here." "Oh," he said, "now I've got something to do today. If you don't mind, bring the ladder down." Ah, oh, bless God, you cannot take one of God's kids. No lion gets hungry to feed on your bones till God permits it to happen. And I'm going to say again, I think we ought to let the churches know that. That we don't cower before churches. We don't say, "Oh, I wish y'all wouldn't." I would simply say this. Let me tell you something. You will not touch God's anointed till God gets ready. And preach on, brother. Preach on, pray on, call on, plead on. Don't lower your sights. Aim for their heart. Fire away in the grace and love of God. And they took Paul, in the 14th chapter of Acts, and they said, we're not going to listen anymore then. Some of the Jews came from the other community and said, "We ought to stone him." "Well, that's a good idea." So they went out and looked for rocks, you remember. Cast them at Paul. Bow, bow, bam. Drug him out of the city. So much for that gospel. I'll tell you, that's what you do when you bother with guys like us. We'll teach these preachers. The disciples, it said, gathered around him. Paul got up, dusted himself off. And they said, "Let's go back in the city and preach." Maybe that, let me tell you something. I say again. You can't stone, you can't eat with lions, you can't burn one of God's kids so God gets ready. Never. They said, "Well, look, Peter's causing trouble too. Let's put him in, you know, we've noticed the Jews are very upset with the Christians, so let's incarcerate Peter, and then after the Passover, we'll bring him to the people and let them do him in like they did Stephen." So they put him in jail, 12th chapter. Guards all around him, chained to his feet. 12th chapter of Acts says, at midnight, the angel says, "It's time to go, son." "What?" "Yeah, and we're leaving." Chains fell off, dumbfounded guards in a stupor. They walked through the jail, came to the gate, opened of itself, and there was Peter outside, didn't even know what had happened. And he went to his own and continued to preach till God got through. It's time. Can't stop it. Cannot stop one of God's own till God gets through. So I guess what I've been trying to say to you is yes. Know you've been called. I sent you. No second. Don't be surprised. Don't be shook. In the day of lawlessness, keep preaching. Without holiness, no man will see God. In a day of shallow religion, preach this: except you repent, you'll perish. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom. Except you be converted and become as a little child, it's over for you. Keep preaching. I don't care how long I say. Keep preaching. You're going to have opposition. God said it. Some will be their faces. Others may be their fist. But whether it be that, whether it be jail or dungeon or death, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. For till I get through, they cannot touch you. And should they kill you, you shall go to that land that is fairer than day and have his will done. Good and faithful servant. And I will tell you what else. We'll join a company of brethren that have borne scars before us. For I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be encouraged, men. Your boss is greater than your enemies. And he will see you through. Let's pray. Father, I praise you today. Thank you for talking to me again. I pray for the pastor's wives, as we've heard this week. Some have to go through this. And the same promise of a keeping God keeps his preachers and their wives and their family. For we are one. Lord, thank you that when the waters rise And should we even be up to our necks in trouble? We are not the first, but of a long line of prophets and priests and men of God. Some who died in the catacombs even. Others in the Mimatime prisons. Some in the arenas. Some were sown asunder. Cut in two. Died without seeing the promises. But now they've got a city whose builder and maker is God. So Lord, what fear I, man? The Lord is my shepherd. Bless these brethren. And Lord, if this is our last time for some of us ever to see one another, help us to stay at the wheel till the Lord brings us to the harbor and says, "It is enough. Come up here." In Jesus' name.